Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Lamed Daled. We left off on the top of Daf Lamed Daled Amar Alef. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Goldova Simcha, Allah Shalom. It's also sponsored by Beryl Eckstein on the Shloshim of his mother, Bela Bas Meir Vinisel, the Nesham Shem and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we were in the middle of a sugya that was discussing this line in the Mishnah on the bottom of Lam Gimel and Aleph, where the Mishnah had said that if you're Mudar Hana'a Mechavero, so one of the things that you're allowed to do is Machzir Lo Avedaso. So the Gemara was discussing, well, wait a second, who's not allowed to get Hana'a from who? What's the case exactly? Is it that the Machzir Aveda is not allowed to get Hana'a from the Bal Aveda, or is it that the Bal Aveda is not allowed to get Hana'a from the Machzir Aveda, and why is it that it would be considered Hana'a in each direction? And today we're going to try to fit in the next line in the Mishnah where it says, Makom Shanot Allah Sachar, Tipal Hana'a Lehegdish, that if normally you pay for someone who's Machzir and Aveda, so then the Hana'a goes Lehegdish. Well, again, we're going to have to try to fit that in according to each way of reading the Mishnah. If it's the case of the Machzir that has an Isra Hana'a from the Bal Aveda, or vice versa. And we're actually, to complicate matters a little bit further, there are going to be two girsaos in the basic discussion of our Gemara here on Amud Aleph. We're going to have the girsa that we have in our Gemara, and then the girsa that the Ran seems to have in our Gemara. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to deal with two other issues, the first of which seems totally unrelated to Maseches Nedarim. It's going to be a discussion about calculating Me'ila, the Isra of being Nena from Hegdish, on a Kikar Shal Hefker that you were Makdish. That you see a Kikar Shal Hefker, you're Makdish it, and whether you take it for yourself or you give it to your children as a Yerusha. So how do we calculate exactly the Me'ila? It seems like a discussion that belongs in Maseches Me'ila, not in Maseches Nedarim. And then the Gemara is going to get back to Nedarim related issues with the second discussion on Beis, and that is if you say kikari alecha, that my loaf of bread should be aser to you. What if I then give you that loaf of bread as a matana? Does that mean that it's mutar you because it's no longer kikari? It's no longer my loaf of bread? It's now your loaf of bread? That kikari just meant as long as it's mine, you're not allowed to get hana from it. Or does it mean no, this loaf of bread, you're never allowed to get hana from whoever it belongs to at whatever stage? So that's going to be the second discussion on Amud Beis. So let's begin again at the very top of Daf Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. So the Gemara asks from our Mishnah on the first Shita that we had yesterday that assumed that our Mishnah is talking only in a case where the Nechasim of the Machzir Aveda are Aser on the Baal Aveda. That it's the person doing the Hashavas Aveda who's not allowed to give benefit to the person who owns the Aveda. So now, if that's the case that our Mishnah was talking about, and we said that even though I'm not allowed to benefit him, I can give him back his own item, I can give him back his own Aveda, I could do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, well, Tanan, how do we read the next line in the Mishnah? Next line in the Mishnah says, Makom Shenotlin Oleh HaSachar, Tipal Anoleh Hegdish, that if the practice is in that community or in that that place that people get paid for Hashavas Aveda, well then the Hana'a has to be given to Hegdish. That payment should not be given back to the Machzir. The person who lost the object is on the hook for a certain payment normally to give to the Meshav Aveda. He can't give to the Meshav Aveda. He has to give it to Hegdish. So the Gemara is understanding that the reason that he has to give it to Hegdish is mitzad shneihem, is on both sides. First of all, mitzad the Bal Aveda, and second mitzad the Machzir, that the Bal Aveda is not allowed to keep it, and the Machzir is not allowed to receive it. That the reason why it has to go to Hegdish is because, meaning there are two other options of what you would do with it. One other option is just give it to who you're supposed to give it to the Machzir Aveda, and the other option is just don't give it at all, just hold on to it. So we're assuming when you're saying give it to Hegdish, neither option is available to us. You can't give it to the Machzir, he's not allowed to have it, he's not allowed to take it, and I can't keep it for myself for some reason. So Bish, I understand very well if you're going to understand the case of our Mishnah. That even when the Nechasim of the Bal Aveda, meaning the person who owns the Aveda, is usher on the Machzir, that it's the person doing Hashavas Aveda who's not allowed to get Hana'a from the Bal Aveda, and still, even though I'm not allowed to get Hana'a from him, I'm still allowed to be Meshiv his Aveda, because the Bal Aveda is not being Nena from the Machzir, because he's not giving him anything that doesn't already belong to him. He's just returning that which belongs to him. And the Machzir is not getting enough from the Bal Aveda, because Pruta de Rav Yosef, whatever benefit he would get by not having to give tzedakah at that point in time, like we said yesterday, Lo Shchiach, Pruta de Rav Yosef is not so common, so we're not so worried about that. So our Mishnah that is Matir is talking about even a case where they're both Mudar Zemizeh, meaning that each one is not allowed to get hana from the other one. Oh, if that's the case of the Mishnah, that neither party is allowed to get hana from the other one, I understand why the only option is not to hang on to the money that you would normally pay, nor to give it to the other person, because neither person is allowed to get hana from the other. Rather, just you can't keep it because you're not allowed to get hana from him. He can't take it because he's not allowed to get hana from you. So you give it to Agdish. That makes a lot of sense. But if you hold that whenever you have a case where the nechasim of the Bal Aveda is usher to the Machzir Aveda, then the Machzir Aveda is not allowed to return it because he's going to be Nana with the Pruta Rav Yosef, that if I'm not allowed to get Hana from you, then I can't be Meshiv your Aveda, because by being Meshiv your Aveda, I'm going to be benefiting Pruta Rav Yosef. Well, then I might people Hana Lahagdish, meaning if the case in our Mishnah is where I am allowed to return your item, it must be that I don't have an Isra Hana'a from you. Well, if I don't have an Isra Hana'a from you and you just have an Isra Hana'a from me, why do you give the money to Hagdish? Why can't you just give it to me? I'm allowed to get Hana'a from you anyway, so just give it to me. So what the Gemara is essentially asking is, at least according to this Girsa in the Gemara, to our Girsa in the Gemara, is that if the case in our Mishnah were that neither party is allowed to get Hana'a from the other, so I understand it makes a lot of sense that when you have the money that you're supposed to pay a Machzir Aveda, you can't keep it because you can't get Hana'a from him, you can't pay it because he can't get Hana'a from you, so just give it to Hagdish, deposit it with Hagdish. But if the case of our Mishnah is that the Bal Aveda is only not allowed to get Hana'a from the guy doing Hashavas Aveda, but the guy doing Hashavas Aveda is allowed to get Hana from the Bal Aveda, so then you have a much simpler option. Pay it. You're supposed to pay money for Hashavas Aveda, so pay the money for Hashavas Aveda. Why doesn't the Mishnah think of that option? So answers the Gemara, according to this opinion, when the Sefer says Tipal Hana Lahegdish, it's not because there's an Isra on each party, on the Bal Aveda and the Machzir, that the Bal Aveda is not allowed to give it to the Machzir, and that the Machzir is not allowed to return it. No, achada katani. It's only with regard to one of them that the Mishnah is speaking, meaning the Bal Aveda. When the Mishnah says that the Bal Aveda should give the money to Hagdish, it's not because the Machzir is not allowed to receive the money. It's because the Bal Aveda is just simply not allowed to keep the money. And the case is enachinami. If the guy was willing to accept it, of course you should pay it to him. But the case, the ukimta we're making in our Mishnah, is that the guy who did Hashavas Aveda says, it's my mitzvah. I don't want to take any money for a mitzvah. I'm not interested in the money. But I can't keep it because this mitzvah costs money. So I'm supposed to pay something and I'm not allowed to get any anah from you. Okay, if you don't want to take it, I have to give it somewhere. So then it goes to Hagdish. That's the case. That's the case in our Mishnah. I mean, you have to make this ukimta that it's a case where the Machzir Aveda refuses any payment, even though he's entitled to the payment, then he's allowed to take the payment. The Tosus points out in Dibra Maskel Hachi Garsinan that the reason the Mishnah talks about such a case where he refuses payment is because it's very common that a Machzir Aveda doesn't want to get payment because he doesn't want to lose out on his Schar Mitzvah. Someone came over to me at a Chasana last night. They told me that a friend, one of the Nachum in Yeshiva. He told me his friend started a new business. It was funny, a headhunter business. But he said, it's like a shadchan for jobs. I'm like, I think a shadchan is like a headhunter for shiduchim. But okay, so he said, he started some sort of headhunter business and he wants to have hatzlach in the business. So he asked this fellow, he said, I'll pay you to learn for an hour every night, in the zuchus of this of the hatzlacha of this venture that I started. So the guy wanted to know, if I take that, am I going to lose the schar of the learning? Meaning, what am I giving up exactly if I'm going to lose the schar of the learning? So typically we do things all the time as a zuchus for shalema, for this, for that. We do we assume that doesn't take away our schar at all. Adrava, it's a double mitzvah. Not only are you doing the learning, you're also doing it as a zechus for shleima. It's not like there's only so much schar to go around. Kadosh Baruch Hu can give out as much as he wants. But if you're getting paid for it, so then that's going to take away a little from your schar, because then it takes away from your lishma. It takes away a little bit from the sense of the, not that you lose all the schar, it's still learning, it's still great, but whatever you get paid to do is always going to take away a little bit of the lishma. So over here, the Machzer Aveda, the reason where the Gemara is assuming that in the Mishnah, the fellow is not interested in money. Who's not interested in money? Because he's doing a mitzvah. He doesn't want to get paid for the mitzvah. He's more interested in doing the mitzvah. So that's a reasonable thing to assume. And that must be the case as to why it is that you can't, that the Baal Aveda can't just pay him. Or the Rush suggests, maybe the whole Mishnah is talking about in one case where you're meshiv bechinam, because the case in the Reisha is machzer lo avidaso is definitely talking about where you don't get paid for it. Because otherwise, what's the chiddush that you could return the aveda to him? The Baal Aveda is paying you for it. So obviously you're not getting he's not getting hanah from you. So it must be that we're talking about the case where he's machzer bechinam, and the chiddush is that you're allowed to be toreach for the sake of the Baal Aveda, even though he's mudrana from the machzir. So in the Seifa also must be talking about, just to keep it consistent, it must be talking about where he's in a makabel schar. So those are two possibilities of why we're it's reasonable to assume that we're talking about a case where he's in a makabel schar. Either because he doesn't want to lose out on the schar of his mitzvah and he'd rather do a mitzvah for free, or because it fits better with the Reisha to assume that our Mishnah is talking about a case where he's in a makabel schar. It happens to be in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, in Simen Reish Samachay, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that Haroa Aveda Chayiv Lahachzir Bechinam Imu Batal, that if you are not otherwise busy, you're not otherwise doing a job that you're getting paid for, and you see an Aveda, you have to return it for free. You're not supposed to get paid for Hashavas Aveda. So if Sturmbach has a Chuvan, Chel Gimel of Chuvas Van Hagos, where he was asked that, a lot of times when people lose something, they hang up a sign, they say reward, they're willing to pay. If you find their wallet, if you find their dog, if you find the whatever it is that they lost. So you have to be choshesh that you're violating what it says in Shulchan Aruch to be machzer aveda bechinam. So he says that no, you're allowed to take the reward for the following reason. He says normally, when the halacha of Hashavas Aveda is, you have to find, once you find the aveda, you have to take it, protect it until the person comes and collects it. So you could call him up and say, I have your aveda, you can come take it anytime. But you have no obligation to go out of your way to bring it to him. So that tircha is beyond what the mitzvah requires you. So it could be that the schar, as if you go out of your way to give it to him, that is what you're getting paid for. But he says anyway, the whole issue is only if you're going to ask for payment. But if the ma'aved wants to pay you and you say, you don't have to do so al pidin, then there's no chashash with taking the money at all. Then it's like the person is just stopped volunteering to give you a matana. He said still it would be really nice to give that money to tzedakah so that you don't personally benefit at all from the mitzvah. But those are the two reasons why it's technically mutter, why it's not a violation of what it says in Shulchan Aruch, because we actually are matriarch ourselves to typically go to the person who lost it, right? That's no gael lemaisa. A lot of times you have something that technically is not yours, but you have no obligation to go out of your Amazon sent you something extra that you weren't supposed to get. So you have to let them know that they sent you something extra. But if they say, oh, you just have to go to a drop-off center in whatever, you know, I don't have to do that. You want to come get it. You have people driving up and down my block every day. You can come and get it. But I don't have to go out of my way to be able to return your Aveda. Okay, so anyway, so that's one girsa of the Gemara. That's one version of what our Gemara says. But then there's another version of what the whole conversation over here is, and that is the girsa of the Ran. So let's read it according to the girsa of the Ran in our Gemara. So the way the Ran learns the Gemara is as follows, that the Gemara is asking from our Mishnah, not on the first Shita from yesterday, but on the second Shita from yesterday, that assumed that our Mishnah is talking about even a case where the Machzir is Mudar from the Balaveda, that the Machzir is not allowed to get Hana from the Balaveda. And on that we say, Tana, and Makom Shnot on the Sachar Tipal on the Hegdish, that we have our Mishnah that says that if you get paid, then if you're in a location where people pay for Hashavas Aveda, so let the Hana go to Hegdish, well, Bishlam Lamandi Yamar. I understand very well, if according to the opinion, that Bishan Nichse Machzir Asurin al Balaveda, where the Nichse Machzir are Asur to the owner of the Aveda, because the object belonged to the Bal Aveda before you returned it to him also, of the Bal Aveda Asurin al Machzir, but the in a situation where the Bal Aveda's Nechasim are Asur on the Machzir, Lo Mahadar, you're not allowed to return it, because when you return it, you're getting benefit of Pruta to Rav Yosef. So if you're going to assume that that's the case, that if I'm not allowed to get Hana from you, then I'm not allowed to return your Aveda, because I'm getting Hana by returning your Aveda. Hainu Dekatani, then it makes sense for that we say, Makam Shultan Lala Sachar, Tibal Hana Lala Hegdish, that if you're supposed to pay me in a case where I am returning it, the money has to go to Hegdish, because we're talking about that the Machzir is a respectable person, and it's not something that he's embarrassed to take. And since the Bal Aveda is Mudar from the Machzir, the Mishnah is telling us that in order that that he shouldn't get Hana from the Schar that's supposed to go to the Machzir, the Bal Aveda has to give that Schar to Hegdish. El Mandi Amar, Afilu Nichse Bal Aveda Asurim al Machzir Nami Ma'adr. But if you're going to assume that even when the Nichse Bal Aveda, when the owner of the Aveda stuff is Asur on the Machzir, and still I'm allowed to return it, I'm not worried about Pruta Rav Yosef, and even in that case, Tipal Ana Lehegdish, so we're talking about a case where the Nechasim of the Ma'aved are Asur on the Machzir, but the Nechasim of the Machzir are Mutter to the Bal Aveda, well then I might Tipal Ana Lehegdish. Why would you say that the Ana has to go to Hegdish? Why doesn't the Bal Aveda just keep the money for himself? Meaning, of the two other options, the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, the Gemara's question was, why not just give it to the guy? Just give the money to the person. And the answer was, he's mochel. He doesn't want it. So he doesn't want it, I'm not allowed to keep it. Now we're asking, according to the Ran's gear, so we're asking, why don't you just keep it for yourself? You're allowed to get enough from him. He's only not allowed to get enough from you. So why don't you just keep it for yourself? Why do you have to give it to Hegdish? So answers the Gemara, even though the Reish is talking about both situations, the din in the Seifa is achado katani. The din in the Seifa is only talking about one of the possibilities in the situation where the nechasim of the machzir are usher on the Bal Aveda. So then you understand why the Bal Aveda is not allowed to keep it for himself, because he's not allowed to get hana from those nechasim. But ena chinami, when the nechse Bal Aveda are usher on the machzir, then ena chinami, the Bal Aveda could keep the money for himself, because he's not he has no problem getting hana from that money. It's not he's allowed to get hana from the other party. So that is how the Ran has a girsa in the discussion in our Gemara. Okay, back into our Gemara. So the Gemara brings another lashon in the Machlokas Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi that we had in yesterday's daf, in which case the Mishnah allows you being meshiv the Aveda. Some have this whole machlokas expressed in the following lashon, that pligiba Rabbi Ami v'Rabbi Asi. Again, when the Mishnah says machzir lo avedaso, there's a machlokas Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, what the case is, who's asur to who? That chad amar lo shanu ela b'shenichse bal aveda asurin ala machzir. That one opinion is that you're only allowed to do the hashavas aveda when the bal avedas nechasim are asur on the machzir. And it's not called that the guy doing Hashavas Aveda is getting Hana'a from the Hashavas Aveda. Aye, what about Pruta Rav Yosef? Nah, Prutas Rav Yosef is not Shchiach. Say, no, Chinami, when I'm returning the object, I now won't have to give tzedakah to an Ani who asks for tzedakah because I'm already Osek B'mitzvah, so I'm getting some benefit from that, but that's so uncommon. We don't consider that to be a legitimate benefit. So even though I'm not allowed to get Hana'ah from you, I'm allowed to be Meshiv your Aveda, even though there might be, in certain cases, some financial benefit in doing so. Aval, Nichse Machzir Asurim Al Bala Balaveda l'mahadrele. But one opinion is that if the Balaveda is not allowed to get hana from me, then I'm not allowed to return his Aveda. Mishum tekamanile. Because when I give him back his Aveda, I am giving him hana by giving him back his Aveda. The Ran says, what hana are you giving him? After all, aren't you just doing a mitzvah? So he says, it's not like, and we had other cases in our Mishnah, I'm allowed to be parea as chovo, I'm allowed to give his machza shekel for him. So if I'm allowed to give his machzah shekel for him, I'm allowed to be parei as chovo, and it's not a violation of him getting anah from me when I do those things. Why can't I give him back the aveda? So he says very simply that when I'm parei as chovo, when I pay his machzah shekel, it's indirect. I'm not giving him any money, anything that he's tangibly going to benefit from. But when he didn't have his aveda, and I'm giving it back to him, now he's going to be able to use his aveda. He lost his cow. Here's your cow. Now he's going to benefit from that cow that I just presented to him. And you know what? If I didn't present it to him, maybe no one else would have found it and no one else would have returned it, and he never would have had that benefit in the first place. So therefore, it's considered that I'm giving Hana'ah to him. V'chadam, and the other opinion says, no. Afilu nichse machzir asurim al bal aveda. Even when the person returning the aveda, when the bal aveda is not allowed to get Hana'ah from the person returning the aveda, still mutter. It's mutter for him to return the aveda. Because when I'm returning his item to him, it's his item. I'm not giving him any anah. It already belongs to him. I'm just giving back that which already belongs to him. So that's the machlokas. The machlokas is, am I allowed to do hashavas aveda? Or maybe better put, is the bal aveda allowed to receive hashavas aveda from me when he's not allowed to get hana'ah from me? Is that called that he's getting hana'ah from me or not? So the first opinion, the chad amar, the first opinion is that that's called that he's getting hana'ah from me because I'm giving him something tangibly that he's going to benefit from, and who knows, maybe no one else would have returned it to him. And the second opinion is, no, he's just taking back what's rightfully his the whole time. It belonged to him the entire time. That's not called that he's getting hana'ah from me. So now, with that version of the machlokas, Tanan, we then go on to the second part of our Mishnah and try to fit it in. Makam shenotan aleh hasachar tipalan aleh hegdish. So he said, if you live in a place where people typically get paid to do hashavas aveda, so don't pay him, just give the hana'ah to hegdish. You can't keep it yourself and you can't pay it to him. You got to give the hana'ah to hegdish. Well, bishlam lamadi amra filu bishen nichse machzir asurim al bal aveda mahadar. I understand very well that if you're going to work with the shita that holds, that even when the Bal Aveda is not allowed to get Hana'ah from the Machzir, he could still get his Aveda back, so it's not considered that he's getting any Hana'ah when he gets his Aveda back. So, Hainu Demetarets, Makom. Now I understand how you could explain the Seifa about Makom Shenotan L'Sachar, that you give it to Hagdish. Because the Mishnah is talking in either one of the cases. When the Nichse Machzir or Asra on the Bal Aveda, that the Bal Aveda is not allowed to keep the money, so and why doesn't he just give it to the Machzir? The Machzir, like we said before, we make the Ukimta. He doesn't want it. He's interested in the mitzvah. So therefore, you give it to Hagdish. El Mandi Amar B'Shenichse Machzir Asurin Loma Hadar. It should probably be low, not Vilo. But according to the opinion that if the Machzir is, if the Bal Aveda is not allowed to get Hana'ah from the Machzir, then he can't receive his Aveda back from him either, and therefore the case in our Mishnah can't be a case where the Bal Aveda is not allowed to get Hana'ah from the Machzir, because he wouldn't have any Hashavas Aveda in such a case. The only case in our Mishnah must be a case where the Machzir is not allowed to get Hana'ah from the Bal Aveda. Well, Hechi Mitaretz Makom. How are then you going to answer the line in the Mishnah that says Makom Shenotlin, that you should just give it to Hagdish? According to that, why does he have to give it to Hagdish? Why can't he just keep it to himself? After all, he's allowed to get Hana'ah from the Machzir. The whole case of the Mishnah is that the Machzir is not allowed to get Hana'ah from him. So if you're not allowed to get Hana'ah from me, good, so I'll keep the money to myself. So the Gemara leaves that kasha. It doesn't have a way to be miyashiv that, meaning, because according to this lashon, how did we answer that in the previous lashon? We said, that case is talking, when we say that you give the money to Agdish, it's talking about the other case where he's not allowed, where you're not allowed to get hana from him. But now, according to this version, there is no such shita. There is no such such case to pin it on, because this shita holds that the only case in our Mishnah, the only situation in our Mishnah where you're being matzir the aveda is where the nechassim of the bal aveda are aser on the matzir, but the nechassim of the matzir are not aser on the bal aveda. So why on earth can't he just keep the money to himself if he has no iser, if the bal aveda has no iser in getting anor from the other guy? So kasha. So the Gemara has to leave that unresolved. So that's the end of that discussion about what exactly the case in our Mishnah is, who's aser to who, and how we fit in the seifa of our Mishnah. So now the Gemara moves on to a seemingly entirely unrelated topic of Mi'ila. In order to understand the basics of this sugya, it's important to know some basics of Mi'ila, and that is that there are two ways that a person could be Mo'el Behegdish. Not allowed to, but that one can violate the Isser of being Mo'el Behegdish. Number one, if a person gets Hana from an object or food that belongs to Hegdish, with whatever level of Tovas Hana. And the second is that you don't get Hana, but you take it. You actually take it out of the Rishus of Hegdish. So that also is a violation of Mi'ila. So in both cases, you only violate Mi'ila. Mi'ila by definition means that you did it b'shogeg, that you didn't know exactly what you were doing. And a Mo'el is chayiv to bring a keren. He has to pay back the keren, what he stole. He has to pay back chomesh, an extra chomesh, to Hegdish, and he brings a karban Mi'ila. Now there's also a difference between the din of Mi'ila between a gizbar, someone who actually is in charge of watching over Hegdish funds, and some other guy who takes something from Hegdish, because anyone else is Moel as soon as he takes the item in his hand, because I'm taking it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Hegdish. But a Gizbar is supposed to be taking the item in his hand. He's the Gizbar, he's in charge of it, so he doesn't violate Mi'ila until he gives it to somebody else. If he holds on to it, then it's not yet a violation of Mi'ila. So I'm at Rava, Haisa Lefan of Kikar Shel Hefker. Let's say a person has a loaf of hefker bread in front of him. What does it mean in front of him? Machlokas Rishonim over here. The Ran and the Rashba write, it means within Dalet Amos of where he's standing. Within Dalet Amos of him, there's a Kikar Shel Hegdish right there. The Rash quotes from Reb Lazar Mimitz that no, it could be even much more distant than Dalet Amos, just that no one else is closer to the Kikar than he is. So he sees a Kikar Shel Hefker, doesn't belong to anyone. Va'amar, and he says, Kikar Zo Hegdish. So he declares this Kikar is going to be Hegdish. So the Hegdish is going to be Chal, because you want to be Zocha in it for Hegdish. And the way the Ran understands this is, what do you mean? What Kinyan? It doesn't belong to you. How could you be Matir something that doesn't even belong to you yet? It's Hefker. You didn't pick it up yet. You're just pointing to it. The Kikar Zeshal Hegdish. So the way the Ran understands is that you are Kona with Kinyan Dalet Amos, because the Ran understood that you're within Dalet Amos of the item. So if you're within Dalet Amos of the item, you could be Kona with a Kinyan Dalet Amos. Now, if you say like Reb Lazar Mimitz that you're not within Dalet Amos of the item, you're just the closest person to the item, but you're not within Dalet Amos of the item, so then you're not going to be able to say that that is the that's the Kinyan. So exactly how it is that a person who finds a kikar is able to be makdish it when he hasn't even picked it up yet, when he hasn't even been kona it yet, is a major machlokes rishonim, and there are in fact four shitos. So the Ran's shita is kinyan dalet amos, that there's such a kinyan, it's a kinyan midrabanan that Chamar Masakin called kinyan dalet amos. Gemara talks about Masakin b'metzia on daf yud, but anything that's outside of your dalet amos in a chinami, you can't be makdish. The shita of Reb Lazar Mimitz is quoted by the Rash, the second shita, that you can be makdish it because it's biyado lezakusba, because you have the ability to be kona it. So since it's not so close to you, since no one else is closer to it, so there's no one else that has the ability to be kona it. So anything that's biyado lezakusba, you're able to make hegdish as well. So the hegdish is going to be chal likisha yizkeba, meaning even so, you still can't. The hegdish is not going to be chal right now. The hegdish is only be chal once you go and pick it up, once you go and you're actually kona it, but you have the ability to be makdish it right now for the chalos to happen when you then go and pick it up. Tosfos Rida is a third shita. He says, Eina Chinami, the guy who found it is not Zocha in that Kikar, but he could still be Makdashit because Hektish doesn't require a Kinyan. So you could be Makdashit because you're the one that saw it. So you just say that I'm being Makdashit, that this should become Kadosh, and the Hektish is going to be Chal without having to pick it up. Meaning that there's a concept we have in Masechta Kiddushin, Amirasa L'Gavoa, we had it here as well, Amirasa L'Gavoa, K'misirasa L'Hadyot, that whereas in normal business transactions, you sometimes need a Kinyan. When it comes to Gavoa, when it comes to Agdish, Amirasa L'Gavoa is good enough. So even though I haven't been Koneid yet, I could still be Makdish. It's quite a Chiddush. I could be Makdish even though it doesn't even belong to me. And then there's a Shita that's quoted in the Tosfos Yeshanim that says, Eina Chinami, you cannot be Makdish before you actually are Koneid. Over here we're talking about you found the Kikar Shal Agdish, and you took it and you were makdish it when it was already in your hand and someone else came and then ate it. So Rav is being mechalik that if initially when you took it you intended to eat it, so your zuchia was in the entire kikar, and mela the hegdish was your hegdish was chal, your making it hegdish was chal on the entire kikar, and the me'ila of the guy who then came and ate the whole thing is on the entirety of the kikar. But if when you initially took it your intention was, as we're about to see in the Gemara, to be morish to your children, so mainly your entire zechiah in the kikar was only based on your only was only the hana'ah that you're going to get from giving this to your children, the hana'ah that you'll get from their appreciation. So that's how much of the kikar is hegdish, whatever the value of that hana'ah is. So when someone else comes and eats it, so that's the amount that he's been moel in. So those are four opinions as far as how the kinyan happens. So the fourth opinion says you actually have to the kinyan only happens and the hegdish is only chal, and the whole kimta of the Gemara is that you actually went and picked it up. It's not only within your dalet amos, it's just a kikar shalefker that you went and you took. So Amar Rava, ha'isa l'fanav kikar shalefker. You have this kikar shalefker, again, according to the Ran, within your dalet amos, kongs Rav Lazar mitz, outside your dalet amos. Va'amar, kikar zo hegdish. And you say, I am declaring this kikar to be hegdish. Not the liochla, if when you initially were kona it, you took it in order to, meaning not when you initially, if when you were moel and you benefited from it, you took it b'shogeg in order to eat it, so ma'al lefi kula, then you chayiv in mi'ila based on the full value of the entire kikar. Because since when you took the kikar of hegdish for a mundane use, you were being motziit from Rishos Hegdish to Chulin, so you have to pay the hegdish the entire value plus a chomesh. But if your intention was never to take it for yourself, but rather laharisha levanav, that after you already makdish it, you then take this kikar b'shogeg with the intention that you're going to give it as a yerusha to your children, and not that it does, so it doesn't go out l'chulin because no one owns it right now. You weren't kona it for anyone just yet, and therefore there's no meila. But malafitovas hanasheba, you do violate meila in the amount of tovas hanaa that you would get from your children, their appreciation, the value of the appreciation you would get from your children for leaving them this kikar. They'd be makir tov when they see that you're working in order to enhance their yerusha, in order to make their yerusha bigger, and therefore they'll appreciate that hana. If that hana is worth a pruta, then you violated mi'ila, and when you're figuring out how much to pay, you pay the value of that hana plus a chomesh of that hana. But that's it. You're only paying for that hana. The Rush is one that writes, and only if it's actually worth a pruta, because you're only in violation if it's actually worth a pruta. Karen Ora, another Achronim say, you know, Mi'ila Behegdash could even be Papachs Mishav Pruta. Mi'ila Behegdash doesn't require a pruta. Unclear exactly why the Rush says over here that it's got to be a pruta. So the Gemara brings a similar case to Rav's case, but not about Mi'ila. Now we're back into the world of Nedarim, meaning why we took a detour into the world of Mi'ila for that moment is a major discussion in the Rishonim. The Ran suggests, because it's quoting the Chiddush of Rava, because there's a dimyon, there's a comparison to the next Shaila in the Gemara, meaning it's really setting up what we're about to learn, because it's at least a similar type of back and forth. Tosfos has a different explanation of what it's doing here, so unclear why we just said what we said, why we just had those few lines of Gemara. Rishonim work on it, but maybe it's setting up the following, that Bai Minei Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin Mei Rava. The Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin asked Rava the following Shaila. A person says, Kikari Alecha. He says, my loaf of bread should be usher to you. And then afterwards, it was no longer your loaf of bread. You gave it to him as a matana. Mahu, is he now allowed to get hana from it? Do we assume that kikari amar lo ki isei brushu seyuda asur? That I said kikari, my loaf of bread should be asur to you. So it's only when it's still my loaf of bread that it's going to be asur. Oh, but now that I gave it to you as a matana, it's your loaf of bread, so it's not asur. Odilma alecha amar le. Or maybe the emphasis is on Alecha, that the loaf of bread should be asur on you. Ilave shavise hegdish, that this loaf of bread should always be hegdish to you. And therefore, when I said kikari, I meant to say, I was just identifying which loaf of bread, the kikar that right now belongs to me, will always be asur to you. So that's the shayla. That was the shayla that they asked Rava. So Amar Lei, Rava responded to Chibaravin, Pshita Dalfakav Diavale, Bimatana, Asr. It's Pashut that even after you give it to the guy as a matana, it remains Asr, because Alecha implies that he asrs the Hana'a from that Kikar whenever, that even after you transfer the ownership, it's still going to be Asr to him. The word Kikari was just identifying which loaf of bread is going to be Asr, but it will be Asr to him forever. So then Rabbi Chiya asks Rava the following, if that's true, that even when he receives it as a matana from me, it's still going to be asur to him. El kikari alecha lafukemai. When you said the words kikari, when that phrase kikari alecha, the kikari sounds like it's coming to be memayit, some sort of situation where the kikar is not in my rishos. Meaning, why did I use the possessive? Why didn't I just say kikar zu alecha? Well, by the fact that I said kikari alecha, I made it sound like that I'm trying to be memayit something. I'm trying to exclude some other case where I'm not in possession of it. So what exactly am I saying is not going to be asur b'hana'a to you? So lav lafuke di ganva mine mignav. Aren't we talking about, isn't it coming to exclude the case that if the mudar steals it from the madir, that it's mutar to him, because at that point it's no longer in the rishus of the madir? Meaning, I'm saying kikari alecha, as long as I still have it, it should be asur to you, and therefore I'm telling you that if you steal it from me so I don't still have it, then it's going to be mutter to you. You're not allowed to steal things, but if you steal it, it's going to be mutter to you, and therefore, by that same logic, even better, if I give it to you as a matana, it should be mutter to you. So it's a kashan rava. Rava, you just told me that when you say kikari alecha, then you give it to him as a matana, it remains asur. Well, then why did he say the word kikari? Kikari implies that it's only going to be asur while he's still in possession of it. So Rava said, look, the madir is not trying to be mema'et, a case where, oh, and if you steal it from me, then it's going to be mutter. No, la fuke di azminei Allah. He's coming to exclude the case if you invite him to eat in your house, and that kikar is munach in front of him on the table, and he says to him, kikari alecha. So that's where we're being memayit the other kikaros in the house, that he's allowed to eat those other kikaros. Because since you didn't say kikar, we know that you only meant that one kikar that's in front of you right now. But that kikar is going to be usher even if I subsequently give it to you as a matana. So the case is, I invite you to my house and there's a lot of food there. I point to one kikar and I say kikari alecha. That kikar is going to be usher v'hana to you. Good, so that kikar will always be asur b'hana to you, even if I subsequently give it to you as a matana. It's going to be asur to you. But the rest of the kikaros, the reason I said kikari, because the rest of the kikaros are going to be mutter to you. It's interesting that the assumption is, it's unclear what the assumption is, meaning who owns the food? When I invite you to my house to eat, are you the owner of the food that you're invited to eat, or am I the owner of the food that you're invited to eat? And you're actually eating my food the entire time. Meaning, you go to a wedding and they serve you a plate of meal. Is that the balabas? Is that the bal simcha's food and I'm eating it? Or once they serve it to me, it's my food. Nafkamina, if let's say you're sitting at a su'udah, you have yeshiva boys and seminary girls over at your house for a su'udah, and one yeshiva boy is very taken by the seminary girl that's across the table from him, so as soon as he gets his chicken, he says, Hareyam Mukadeshasli, he says to Adam, everyone look, Hareyam Mukadeshasli, Betarnagal Zu Kadash Moshe Yisrael. And she's, this is what they told me in seminary, I should hope for. And she takes the chicken. So, Mukadeshas Oeinu Mukadeshas, right? Meaning, is he the owner of that? So I make up this case. It's Ramah. The Ramah in Evan Ezer discusses this. The Ramah says, if you're a guest sitting by a balabais and you take your chelek and your makadesh an isha with it, Mukadeshas, because the mana is kinyono shel ha'oreach. that it already belongs to you, that that if it's given to you. The Taz disagrees. Taz doesn't understand why that would be the case. That there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim that Orchim are not allowed to take the portion that they've been given and give it to the Avdo Obno Shel Balabayas and say, you know, oh, I got dessert, you know what, and give it to the child of the Balabayas. Not allowed to do that. Well, if it's mine, why am I not allowed to do that? So the Taz says, Elumai, it's not yours. This is a major discussion in halacha. Not so much because we have people being Mekadesh Ishas all the time with their portion at a chasana, but what we do have all the time is that they put out a dessert table at the end of the chasana, and on your way out, you can grab a cup of coffee and grab some cookies, and you say, well, I'm not going to eat cookies, I'm too old to eat this late at night, or whatever, but my children, who I left home the whole time, and you know, they're looking for a treat when I come home, so I'll just bring a few extra cookies for the kid. Am I allowed to do that? They put out the cookies for their guests at the chasana. Am I allowed to take? Or there are beautiful flowers at the wedding. So, that was a lot of money they spent on those flowers that are probably going to go in the garbage in an hour from now. So can I just take a bunch of flowers and bring to my wife a bunch of flowers? So whether I'm allowed to do that may depend on this issue. What sort of assumptions do we make about the ownership of that which is presented to you? It may be a difference between the food and the flowers, because the flowers aren't presented to you. They're there to decorate the hall. But anyway, that's a major discussion in the post-game. Okay, we'll leave it there. Tomorrow we'll pick up at the top of Amud Aleph.